and just the rapid pace of generative AI and the things that can be done with it, if we're not leaning into that and figuring out how we're going to use it, I don't know that we're going to die, but as a profession, we're going to start becoming less and less relevant.
This episode is brought to you by Green Skies Analytics, an audit analytics service provider that works with internal audit departments that have data analysts and are still frustrated with trying to make analytics actually work, aren't getting the expected ROI, who can't break through the communication barrier between the analysts and the audit team, and those that need experienced direction for an audit analytics strategy and process. Those that feel like they've wasted time and money on trainings, aren't getting the value they want, not prioritizing the highest risk areas for the organizations, or have projects that seemingly never get completed. Do you deal with any of that? If you do, go to the show notes of this episode and click the Green Skies Analytics link, or go to greenskiesanalytics.com to schedule a call and understand how Green Skies Analytics makes analytics actually work for internal audit. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Audit Podcast. I am your host, Trent Russell, and today on the show, we have Chris Jessup. He is a manager of audit analytics at CSX, and one of someone that Chris and I have in common. They met prior to the show, and this person sent me a message, said, "Hey, Chris is going to be on the show. He told me that he's going to be on the podcast, and so I just wanted to send you this message." And I read it, and I went, "All right, that's probably a better intro than I can do." And it was unsolicited, and so I'm going to quickly read the message from that person that they sent about Chris. Chris is a humble guy who probably won't sing his own praises. Think that is true. So let me do a bit of that for him. Back when we worked together at CSX, Chris was an incredible mentor, not only to me, but also to other auditors diving into data analytics. He had a knack for finding projects that were perfect for beginners, ensuring that they could both contribute and learn. Chris was always there to explain the bigger picture and clarify our goals without micromanaging. However, he made sure we knew his door was always open for any follow-up questions. I often tell Chris he did a great job mentoring me for those 2 years when I was a staff auditor. So anytime I can get an unsolicited message from someone about how great someone else is on the podcast, I think that speaks more than anything that I could say about them in the time that I've spent together with them. So I wanted to mention that. All right. So a couple of things that Chris and I talked through, though. The coolest thing that he's built, and this thing was pretty cool, with analytics and automation. And then Chris's story is similar to mine and some other folks in audit, in that started off probably external audit, moved into internal audit, somewhere along the way developed this passion for analytics, and then took that and became the full-time data analyst in their organization. And so wanted to understand Chris's story so that hopefully the listeners can take that and go, all right, if we need to promote within or make someone the full-time analyst, what characteristics should we look for? How do we know who that person is? Because we've seen mistakes people have made. Hey, let's just get the smartest person. Hey, let's just go get somebody from IT audit. They will be able to do it right. And that's not the case. So that was kind of the overall goal of this episode. But then within that, so Chris has been the full-time analyst for a few years now, and similarly other folks are in that position. We wanted to say, hey, what do you feel like you now need to take analytics to the next level within your internal audit department? So we talked through that also. All right, with that said, here we go. What is in your internet browsing history or your ChatGPT history?
So for ChatGPT / Copilot, I have personal life using ChatGPT to kind of drum up a 12-week training plan on day trading. Something I'm interested in. Hopefully don't lose a lot of money doing it, but it at least is building out a good training plan for things to go watch and stuff to look out for. In work life, we're using Copilot. We're trying to pilot Copilot in our office, and I'm using it to develop a audit data project framework that's based on the CRISP DM framework, but translating it for auditors and building out. CRISP DM doesn't have any real speak to roles and responsibilities, so I'm trying to layer that in of what's an audit lead role versus a data analyst versus business partner versus data owner. And at any point, somebody could be in all four seats almost, but so those are kind of my two primaries I'm using it for right now.
How's it been in developing a framework? Because and is it are you doing this from scratch, or do you have something kind of built out already that you are now supplementing with what you're doing with Copilot?
So largely from scratch, I have a kind of 3-year strategic roadmap just for embedding data into the art process as a whole. And with that, getting more formality around what does that look like within an audit space. CRISP-DM, obviously, that's an existing framework that I referenced in my prompt, and it decided to pull stuff back and it got it correct this time. In terms of using it, it gets you off the blank page onto something that you can edit a lot faster, and which works for me. Blank pages are scary. And having that as a starting point, allowing me to make modifications, and it's a really good intern research tool. I don't blindly trust what it says, but it at least gets me something to start consider and get the juices flowing.
Yeah, to get you started. That's how I like to use it too for a lot of projects. Well, outside of, I guess, what you're building with ChatGPT in terms of what you're doing with analytics and automation, what would you say is maybe one of the coolest things that you've built?
The perceived coolest thing I've done recently was, within the organization I'm in, I fall under the director of investigations, which we're all an internal audit, but I directly report to our file investigation team. And so I was assisting him on an allegation of payroll fraud that came through recent. The gist of it was one of our employees was leaving work early and using an app on his phone to clock out. I already have issues with that concept, but he was leaving work early and clocking out on the app on his phone. So I started going down the route of what data is available to me. Surely if there's an app, there is ideally IP address, or in this case happened to be GPS coordinates from where he clocked out. Through all those in Power BI, spit him out on a map so we could visualize where he was. And we played a year's worth of data during our conversation with the individual. And you could literally see his drive home because he would clock out at different points on the way.
Yeah.
And it made the interview for the investigation a lot simpler, because you can't argue the visual of, okay, your work location is up here on the top of the screen and you're clocking out progressively closer to your house or at your house. So that was a pretty cool visual use of something that you wouldn't normally think of in a fraud space.
Yeah, I don't know why you said perceived. That is cool. I think anybody listens would be like, "What's it perceived? That was sweet."
But it was perceived really cool by the investigation team. I mean, the idea that you could even do that. For me, I'm like, people map stuff all the time. Like, this isn't.
Got it. Okay. And probably from the person going through the investigation, probably didn't perceive it as very cool. I don't know. They're probably like, that was pretty sweet. I mean, I got caught and busted, but that was pretty cool. I didn't know you could do that.
My goal when I up the fraud team is to create the concept in the company that we're a lot better than we are. So we're really good for anyone that's listening, but I want the perception to be that we're a lot more capable than maybe we actually are.
Yeah. That's something we called socialized continuous monitoring. And so it's basically that, in that that story gets socialized. And now, I mean, you can't measure that control, obviously, or test it. But the perception that that is going on, I think, is pretty legitimate. Maybe that speaks to culture, which isn't necessarily my area of expertise. But I think there's something to be said about that.
Exactly.
Well, what about how did you get started? I think this is super interesting. And the reason I'm asking this question, which is pretty, you know, vague, and I can see some people going, another how did you get started question, you know. But the reason I'm asking it is, for most internal audit departments, if they want a full-time data analyst, it's usually someone internal that they have to promote to that position or put in that position. And so I want the listeners to understand your background a little bit, and then how you got into data analytics, so that if they're looking to identify someone on their team to take on more of that role, and there's different strategies. Some people go, hey, you can do 50% audit, 50% analytics, and then as we get more return on that, well, you know, maybe you can do it full time or something. But all I'd say, that's where the question's coming from, is how did you get started? And ultimately, so that folks can understand who potentially they could look to promote to do more analytics on their team. So with that said, I'll throw it back to you.
to get started with analytics and audit, first time to get started in audit, I did typical business school first time through and didn't really specialize in anything, which later realized I was a mistake. Got out of college, worked in retail management for 7 years, and got tired of babysitting people. So decided, hey, maybe I need a career instead of a job. Went back to school for accounting. Accounting sends you the CPA route. That sends you public accounting. And I worked at a small local firm. Got introduced to the analytic tool idea like 10, 15 years ago. And we used it to scrape ADP payroll reports that were PDFs and turn them into Excel files. And then that's where we stopped. And I'm like, I feel like we have this powerhouse of a tool that we're literally just scratching the surface with. But that was my initial kind of intro into trying to use data instead of literally just taking a piece of paper that's in electronic format and counting the nth number of records and randomly selecting from there. Did the public accounting and busy season life for a while, got tired of that, wanted to really dive into one company, shifted into internal audit. Internal audit shop used ACL instead of IDEA. And they actually had taken it to the point of scripting out some stuff for fraud monitoring when all of the scripts were very manual. It was more like an Excel macro style that it does some stuff for you, but you have to interact with it at multiple points. And it was taking our investigators that would run it better part of a day just to run the thing on their monthly cadence to then get what they wanted to review and look for and so fraud. And my career at the company, I was kind of gravitated towards, hey, this is neat. It's like the idea that I used at the other firm and showed some interest in it. The folks that were the experts moved on with life and I inherited what they left behind. And then my goal was, I don't want to have to interact with this. Now that I own it, it's inefficient to run this manually. How do I automate it? How do I schedule it? So that was kind of my first unofficial task that I assigned myself was, I'm going to take what you're doing, but I want it to run on a schedule and I want it to run without human interaction. So how do I use variables? How do I, instead of entering today's date, let it figure out what today is? And was successful at kind of getting the scripts to run automated. It's a fun proof of concept. I had a desktop machine that we would leave in the office turned on all the time, and Windows Scheduler triggered my process. My goal was to prove out the need for a legit server run environment that has a scheduling engine that doesn't break because the machine turned off. And the proof of concept worked so well, they decided just to keep using it until ultimately I left the company and then it all broke because nobody was there to maintain it.
Right.
But I think showing that initial initiative of, I really like this, this is a better way of doing it, led me to getting more and more of that work to now ultimately that is my day job. You mentioned it, like you start off, you find that individual that's kind of hungry for doing it and you almost make it their data side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got your day job and you can do this on the side. And then for me, my side hustle turned into full-time work and now trying to build out an actual full-on program that has resourcing beyond me.
Chris, you know this because I told you before we started recording. I felt like I was, so this for the listeners, I felt like I was basically interviewing or talking to myself and talking to you. Our backgrounds are very, very similar, even to the, I didn't realize the idea PDF to Excel story aligned very closely to one of mine also when I first started and what got me really interested. But then also just our path, minus I didn't go back to school. I was fortunate enough that I was general business and they had each major would come and talk to the class. This was like basically a freebie class. And the MIS kids, who I felt at the time were basically adults because they were seniors, but now looking back, clearly kids, came and they had one slide and it said virtually 100% job placement. That was their slide. Like if you go through the program, you will get a job, which was true. And so I went, all right, I want to do that thing then. I just want a job when I get out of here, or a career, I guess is a better way to put it. So anyway, so yours was IDEA PDF to Excel. Mine was a tool called Monarch. And it very similar. It takes PDFs and the report style PDFs, and you can capture the data and then put it into a nice Excel rows and columns. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I basically tried to just sign up to do that kind of work. And this was in public accounting. And so there's still, you know, busy season was very much a thing. And if I got whiff of someone trying to do something in a PDF, I go, hey, send that to me. It, like, I want to do it. And I just thought it's a puzzle. And I just thought it was interesting to figure that out. So I didn't realize it was even that similar in our kind of aha moments, although I had other ones.
It's that starting point of going from the traditional, I have a piece of paper, I mean, hyper-traditional audit. Literally, when I started at the firm, they still had the pencils that were red on one side and blue on the other. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is neat, but I'll never use it. Because luckily, I started when computers were a thing, and you were at least doing red and blue tick marks on a screen instead of paper.
Yeah.
And immediately, I was like, how do I, it's nice that I'm taking the PDF and throwing it into Excel to do a random sample, but this is payroll. Why can't I just do some analytics on the payroll and look for who's getting paid, who's the anomaly, who's getting paid more than they should based on their position? If it is employee benefit plan work, was a lot of what was driving that 401k audits. So who's contributing more than they should be? If I elect 10%, did they really take out 10%? Like, to me, it was sparking that idea already back then. Why am I looking at this at 25 at a time when we could look at 100%?
Yeah, that was mine.
The data into the format that allows me to look at 100%.
That was mine, was the, hey, we can look at 100% and it doesn't take that long in this specific test. Why do we not do this everywhere? And that's what started going, let's do it here and let's do it here and let's do it here. But for the takeaway from this, if you were internal audit leader and you're looking to promote someone or shift them to more, take on more of a data analytics role, what would you look for? Because I've seen the mistake where people go, you're in IT audit, you're going to be the part-time analyst person, or you're just really smart, so you're going to be the analyst person. But what would you look for if you were going to do the same?
So for me, in my head, I take the data analytics side and I almost expand it into more like audit innovation vernacular. I mean, some folks can say, oh, well, I get stuff in Excel and I do a quick statistical formula. I did data analysis. You're not wrong, but you're also not enhancing or being innovative then. I think it's identifying the people you have that are trying to find a better way of doing their job, that aren't just happy with, well, I did it this way the last 3 years, so I'm just going to keep doing it that way because I know it. Finding those people that are pushing the edges of what you think is good in Excel, or pushing the edge of whatever tool they have available to them, and then invest in that. That mindset carries you really far. I look for the one that Googles how to do whatever it is. It's a roadblock, and they're proactively seeking how to do it better, because I find that person and then I enhance them with some resourcing and a nudge and some training, and they'll just rock it, versus someone who's never even asked the question.
That's interesting, because I can't remember if I've told this story or not. I know I told it yesterday to a group. I'm not sure if I've told it here, but there was at the audit analytics conference that I host, there was a speaker, I think 3 years ago, and he was saying he was a full-time analyst. And so the other auditors would send him questions and go, hey, can you do this for me? Can you do this? And he would. But he would get questions sometimes over Teams, like over chat, that would be, you know, how do you do this in Excel or whatever it was. And so he would go and type that into Google and then take the link and just basically send it to them. Or he would make them like get on a video call with him and be like, yeah, I'll show you how to do it. Just, you know, come up, you know, let's have a quick call, pull up a screen, Google it, take the link, send it to the person, be like, that's it. That's how you do it. You use the internet and Google to figure out the answer. You know, obviously, that was his way of saying, take some initiative yourself and go Google this and try to figure it out yourself. Most analytics questions have already been asked 1,000 times on the internet. And so the answer is already out there. And so that is, I 100% agree. It kind of blows my mind sometimes working with people, and I go, how would you find the answer to that? And they go, Google? I'm like, yeah. So just Google it, like if you want to learn how to do this more. So I think that's a, I think what you said though, in investing in the mindset, the innovative mindset, is a really good way to think about. They likely know, management likely knows, or like the manager's leadership likely knows who on their team is that person when you put it that way.
Right. And looking for that, I mean, to me, it whether it's analytics, whether it's an automation project, whatever it is, it's looking for the problem solvers, not the ones that are, all them identifiers are good, and a lot of auditors, it's nature of our role is we tend to be problem identifiers. We get in, we're trying to provide assurance that things are working, but we're really good at pointing out when they're not. I need to find the person who's a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the issue's there. Now what do I do? How do I work around it? It's funny you mentioned that about Google. I tried to not do, back in the day, there used to be a website I Googled it for you. And yeah, when you would type in the search parameter, it would give a little animation or filling in the box. And mm-hmm. then that's what you'd send to folks. I might have used that once or twice, but tried to get a little nicer.
Yeah, that was his approach. So that's what it was. I couldn't remember what it was, but that's what he would do also. Yeah, but it is kind of not nice in a way to do that. But it also, I'm sure nobody asked him for better or worse. They either went and said, all right, yeah, you're right, I should just go do this myself. Or they probably went, all right, well, I'm just never going to do this then. So I guess there's a good and bad in doing that.
Right. I left one company and actually boomerang back to it. And when I got back, I noticed that part of the documentation around my area, someone else wrote on top of it, hey, remember Google first. That's Jessup's favorite thing. I was like, okay, I left a mark.
Nice. All right. So you've been doing the full-time analyst thing for a while now. What makes you look at it and go, okay, now I need another level of support? Because I know there are people in your exact situation, they're full-time analysts, and they're probably going, okay, I feel like I need someone else. How do you, how did you know that? And then how are you trying to get that resource? Because I feel like that can be tough for people, especially depending on where they are in their careers, to be able to speak up and go, hey, you know, it'd be great is if you gave me someone else that could work under me that I could then leverage to build out even more of this. So how's that been going?
So that's squarely where I am. Even though I'm back with the title of manager of all analytics, my role is still, I've been working towards 100% being dedicated towards an actual analytics strategy and not supporting a specific group with just one thing. So I think we're finally kind of getting to that point where we're looking at that strategic roadmap. We're planning out how do we fully embed instead of bolt on. That's been my new thing that I felt for a while. Our company's approach is we've been bolting on analytics to the audit shop. And so it's always a job plus concept or a side hustle, or I think you have phrased it at one point, like a side of desk job, that when resources get tight or we lose a person and primary work has to get done, this is the first thing that rolls off the table. So my goal is to get it embedded where if it's core, it's core. And it's just like everything else in audit that doesn't roll off the table. Like, we're not going to stop looking for evidence. We're not going to stop doing planning and gaining understanding. So why would we stop doing data analytics? It should be that infused in how we do our job. And in terms of finding another analyst, part of, with my background being a kind of business person, CPA first, that just tinkered with analytics, that's taken me to the point of where I am. But I could go hire a college graduate that studied how to code, and they'd be head and shoulders above where I'm at and far in that particular area, and allow me the ability to focus on strategy and kind of keep at that pace. I tell folks around me all the time that I'm finding myself today being the quarterback on the field and the coach on the sideline. And when you start doing strategy, you got to pull yourself out of the weeds. You got to get off the field and get that box view of the whole playing field, which is where all offensive coordinators love to hang out, and I want to be able to see everything that's going on and adjust on the fly, where now you need a quarterback on the field that can execute. And me bouncing from role to role to role quickly within a given week it's not efficient on either side. So that's what's making me see the need for the analyst is if we want a strategy, we need someone that's dedicated strategy, yes, which means I'm not executing and doing the day-to-day work anymore. I need somebody else that can do that. So if we're growing to that point, let's start hiring that specific skill set or find the next person to pour in and invest to bring them up to speed as well.
So I would expect for, if you're looking to bring someone else on, that it would be pretty easy to say, like, that's what I need in order to take analytics to the next level. Or for, again, listeners who don't have a full-time analyst, they might go, hey, I just need to go get one. And that's really what we need. And I highly recommend getting full-time analysts for pretty much every internal audit department, but understanding some folks can't for various reasons. So what with that said, is that what you feel like you need, or is there something else you feel like you need in order to go, you know, we are kind of here at a 2 or 2.5 or whatever. We need to go to a 3 or a 4. This is what we need for our department.
So the getting an extra body to do work would be an amazing thing. Trying to get that individual, what it's highlighted to me that I need that I never would have expected coming from an audit background, especially a data-driven audit background, is personally, I need to grow in a salesmanship skill set. It's not a school that I, or a skill that I've tried to train in, go for the technical, you go for the audit. But what I'm realizing is working in a company where data analytics, especially within audit, isn't already a thing and you're trying to show the need for it, you have to sell it. And I can identify the opportunities. I can even do the proof of concepts like we discussed earlier that turned into, oh, the proof of concept works, so I'll just keep doing that. I have to figure out how to sell the idea that there's such a need out there, it needs more resources than what we have.
Yeah.
And I'm not the people person, salesperson. I like to interrogate data. I tell my boss, it's the director of investigations, I let you interview people and I'll interview systems because I know how to get the stuff out of the system and you know how to read people.
Yeah.
But that the people side of getting into any strategy role is something that I didn't anticipate. So that's kind of my personal goal for this year, is develop that ability to not just have the ideas and know they're good, but how do I sell the value of the idea for the investment in the body?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a snake oil salesman. I'm trying to get the right people in the company to agree there's value here, so they invest in the resources.
I don't think we had it recorded, so it's somewhat candid, I feel like, but I asked the CAE, what skill do you feel like every CAE needs or something to that effect? And without blinking, no thought given to it, immediately went sales. You know, and yeah, I mean, you need resources. Everybody needs them, and there's only one way to get those resources that you need. So I 100% agree with that. I think that's a great answer. All right, as we start to wrap it up, what do you want to leave the audience with? Anything that we didn't cover? Obviously, this is pretty heavy analytics. Is there anything else there you want to make sure that the audience leaves with, or anything even outside of that?
My takeaway would be, whether it's analytics, automation, I'm moving away from just calling it analytics, because if you say that, you'll get folks that, oh, well, I opened Excel, therefore I did analytics. And maybe they've done a pivot table, or maybe they've even done some pretty advanced stuff to get to doing a sample. And I'm not taking away any of that. But to me, it's having the innovation mindset. I don't know that I fully buy in for an internal audit shop or external audit, the innovator die adage. But the concept of, we at least need to keep pace with change, maybe not stay ahead of it, but we at least need to be keeping pace. So within the last 18 months, ChatGPT has gone from almost non-existent to it's now embedded in Microsoft and Copilot. And just the rapid pace of generative AI and the things that can be done with it, if we're not leaning into that and figuring out how we're going to use it, I don't know that we're going to die, but as a profession, we're going to start becoming less and less relevant. And that's a scary place to be. I I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago on LinkedIn by David Hill. He was posing that same question. Is the actual term data analytics causing an issue? Are people getting too caught up on some folks? It's too techy and that's just a technology thing. And we've got an analytics group within the enterprise and that's just their job. Why would I do it? Or others go, well, I don't want to do the analytics. I want to take the traditional approach to audit. And for me, anytime in a business context, like they're traditional, it makes me nervous. My mentality is there's always room for improvement. I need to incrementally improve every day. If I keep doing the same thing over and over again, I'm going to fade in the background pretty quick. I think within the article, one of the things I thought was kind of funny is they've mentioned the concept of an auditor that's been doing the work for 40 years can make the statement, well, I've used data all 40 years. And I looked it up. Ironically, Blockbuster opened 40 years ago. And Blockbuster and Netflix do the same job. They both provide the same service and ultimately get movies into my house. But one of them stuck to a traditional model and is no longer around. And the other pivoted with technology and got fully out of physical media and went 100% streaming. And to me, it's that concept. It's see the writing on the wall, technology's there, it's going to stay and it's going to keep improving and keep changing. And we might as well learn how to use it to the best of our abilities or we'll get left behind pretty quick.
Hey everyone, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Audit Podcast. Whatever platform you're listening on right now, I'm sure there's a subscribe button somewhere, so please hit the subscribe button there. If you're listening through iTunes or Spotify, feel free to go give us that 5-star rating. It only took me about 16 seconds to give myself a 5-star review, and it really helps to get future guests to come on the show, so we'd really appreciate that. Lastly, be sure to check out the show notes and follow us on all our social media channels on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on TikTok. Also, if interested, please sign up for our weekly newsletter from The Audit Podcast. Thank you all. Have a great one.